dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers. To the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled, ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcasts. You need some ISOs? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RANs, zips, sits. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
Welcome to the next generation of hacking information exchange.
Welcome to the next generation of hacking information exchange.
Welcome to the next generation of hacking information exchange. With Stank Dog and Wintermute.
All right, hello everyone. I am Stank Dog and I am joined by the one and only
Wintermute
in the house. And you are listening to Binary Revolution Radio, Episode 1. Now, what is Binary Revolution Radio, or BinRev Radio, as we like to call it? Well, we decided that there's been a lot of hacking shows that have come and gone over the years, and right now they seem to all be gone. So, we thought it was about time that we brought back an all-hacking show, all hacking, all the time. So we are here. We're going to try to stay away from political topics and other non-hacking related things. We're going to stick to hacking, digital rights, some freaking, and stuff like that. Which leads to the second question. What about RFA, Radio Freak America? Mute, do you remember that show, Radio Freak America? Does that sound familiar?
I have some images some coming back to me now of it, but yeah.
Sounds vaguely familiar, yeah. Well, we are still doing RFA, aren't we?
I did it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and I think I'm doing it tomorrow as well. So, RFA is not going away. This is not a split of any way, shape, or form. We have the blessings of Dual Parallel. He agrees that we do need more hacking news. We do need more radio shows, just like we need zines out there. We need more sources of information, more non-biased sources of information that we don't have to deal with the mass media. We need more independent outlets, and that's what we are trying to achieve here. So, another thing, you know, this is probably kind of a selfish reason, but frankly, I like listening to Radio Freak America. So, you know, this actually gives me more time to listen to other people, because I know I always come on and I always talk about hacking and different topics, and I'm not that much of a freak. This will actually let me listen to some other guests more frequently. Do freaking and duel, you know, do more phone calls and more freaking on live on the show and make more phone calls, which is something I always like to hear as a listener. So, RFA, Radio Freak America, still a great show. We will still pop in as much as we can, if not, you know, still do that regularly as two. I mean, two regular shows each week from DDP, I mean, that's pretty darn cool if you ask me.
I believe so, too.
So, Mute, you are in an interesting location, isn't it? It's kind of funny that our very first episode is you on location.
Yeah, I've never done, actually, I never did an on-location RFA, so basically what I'm at is I'm at Notre Dame University in beautiful South Bend, Indiana.
Indiana.
Huh?
Indiana.
Oh, okay, well, I don't actually never met that many people. There's one kid in here that actually lives in South Bend. We may cross them a lot, but that's another story altogether. There's only 50 kids in our camp, but the camp, if anyone's wondering, is Introduction to Engineering. And I actually like it a lot, and I think I'm getting a lot away from it. Actually, it's funny. This Friday, we have speakers in the morning, and the speaker will be a guy that's about computer security. So I'm going to have to, you know, show off my skills a little bit for him. We'll see what he says, but
yeah, you're gonna keep us up to date with that. Give us some notes on the next episode of what kind of evil hacking allegations he made and how bad we are and all that kind of good stuff.
Well, see, what he does, actually the president, it's funny, you see a lot of camps, you go to a lot of sports camps, and the actual director of the whole camp isn't involved at all. The director of this camp is involved 100%. He's there, like, at every big thing we do and stuff, so it's really nice. He said he's messed with, like, intrusion detection systems and stuff. So this guy should be pretty cool. And so far, the camp's been really fun. I mean, I've seen a lot of topics that I thought were boring, but they turned out to be pretty cool. So I'm happy so far. The kids are nice. I mean, I've done a lot of school stuff. They're all really impressed. So we'll see what happens, but I'm happy. So,
where are some of the other people from that are in the camp with you? What other locations?
We got, like, everywhere. Like, we got the Eastern Seaboard and the Western Seaboard. We got a girl from Maine. We got a bunch of kids in Texas. We got some kids from California. They're coming from everywhere.
Wow. And how long are you going to be there?
Going to be here till July 3rd, I think. And then we're staying that night, so we're going to come back the 4th for 20 Center meeting.
You'll be back in time for the 2600 meeting? That's perfect timing.
So it's all good.
All right. You are not only at Notre Dame, you're in the dorms at Notre Dame right now.
We actually get to live in a dorm because the camp is kind of supposed to simulate a dorm life, a college life, which I think it is so far, and I like it a lot. So, I mean, give me this instead of, like, fucking high school.
Well, you know, they are giving you, I think it's really cool that they're doing that. You know, it's a great way to give you a taste of what it is like. But, you know, I don't know, it sounds a little bit like, I won't say propaganda, but they're doing a little mind washing. Are they trying to convince you that you need and should come to Notre Dame? Are they giving you an idea?
Now, I mean, for high school, it's like college life. I mean, they give you basic sense of course, it's easier. But I thought it was weird. I thought I was, like, kind of average, a little above average in high school. But when I come here and, like, the guy, some kids and some professors are impressed with what I do, I'm like, damn, I'm good. I mean, not to just prop myself, but, I mean, I've seen that, like, that some of the professors, like, say wow sometimes, and I think that's kind of cool, so.
Yeah, well, I'd say so, especially, I mean, Notre Dame's a great school, don't get me wrong, it's a great, great institution.
But here's the cool thing about this recording, because the payphone in the booth in here sounds like crap when we're recording. So what I did was, well, I'm the freak scout.
Well, you are in a payphone right now, right?
I'm in a payphone booth.
You're in the booth.
Using the payphone.
I see.
I'm using the phone that came out of a locked room that actually has dial tone in it. So I just called up Stank and he's on the show. But the cord is too short. So what I did was, being the good freak scout, as Stank has called me, I brought a phone and I brought a phone cable, so I just plugged that into the back of the phone that's over there because it has one of those cool data ports. So I ran into the phone booth, so now I'm in my own little enclosed room so no one bothers me.
Yeah, freak scout is the same motto as the Boy Scouts. It's just that when you're prepared with different materials. Who needs who needs all the little pots and pans and backpack? Bring the phone, bring the beige box, bring all your other equipment.
Yeah.
So you're actually in a payphone booth, but you're on a phone basically rolled across the floor, rolled across the room?
Yeah, basically, that's it.
So that sounds like an episode of a Brady Bunch or something. So, have you run into the Hunchback, by the way?
No, not yet.
No? Keep an eye out for him, man. I heard he comes and likes molest kids in the dorms while they're sleeping, so.
I've heard that, too. I think maybe one got hit already. I'm not sure.
All right. At least somebody got lucky.
Yeah.
So you're going to be there for another week. I know you called me a couple times for the payphone, but you also had, didn't you have a nice little adventure on the first day you were there? I got a call from you at about, like, what, 11 o'clock at night?
Yeah, the first day, basically, that was a Sunday, and everyone started showing up, and everyone was there. What Notre Dame has got, they got something kind of funky. What happens is, when you plug your wireless in or when you plug your Ethernet into the phone, to the wall jack you have here in every room has like two or three Ethernet jacks at a full 100 megabits, so that's nice. Anyways, I plugged it in, and then at the first website, even though on my homepage is like whatever the Apple homepage is, you get the Notre Dame connection registration page. So what happened was...
Is this a pop-up or a redirection?
This is a redirection completely, which led me on to what we did with it. So I kind of give up on the whole thing, starting to meet the other campers and stuff. But later that night, I'm getting pissed because I want the internet. So what I did was, well, I thought since it's forwarding me, it has to be something like taking whatever name I'm putting in and then bringing me to another page. This be to the DNS. That's the first thing I thought. So I didn't, but I thought, well, if it's just the DNS, I should be able to ping something. It's like not like a real, like as you said when I called you, and not a real connection authentication.
Right, right.
One basically. So what I did was give Stank a call. I said I need an IP address. I need some IP address. I got the Google IP address and I got the stankdog.com IP address.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. And what I did was I had the wireless hooked up, so I was outside, pointed to my room, hooked on, pinged Google, and it worked. Pinged the IP to Google, and that worked. So I knew it had to be through the DNS. So what I did was, first of all, I tried loading up. Actually, this is the cool part. I had a Linux box in my room, hooked up, forwarding all this stuff. What I did was I SSH'd into that, then used links to go to Google through the IP address, and that worked. So I knew that was going to work. So all I did was, I came back to my dorm. All the kids were extremely happy. So all I did was using my, I'm just propping myself here again, the ONP script, the human readable nmap parser that I wrote.
Right.
From wintermute.net.
Available at your website.
Available at wintermute.net. That's ones and threes. Anyways, wrote that, came out with all the domain servers. There are 44 domain servers on campus. I picked the first one, plugged in as my DNS server, internet access, straight up.
Wow, there's 44 on campus?
44.
Wow. And that, now, I can tell you from experience that, yes, they are fragmented a lot of times in the university setting, but it's usually because the universities are very departmentalized sometimes, so one person may block certain may block certain domains and stuff like that, or they may have just any number of reasons to set up their own DNS. So I've seen that, you know, sometimes I can see maybe dozens, but 44, that's a lot.
You gotta check all. I haven't checked any of them out too. I just the first one, the DNS, the DHCP server gave me. Well, that was the one that was checking everyone. But all I did was change the DNS, and everyone that night was very happy with me after I did that. So.
Yeah, you're like the Robin Hood. You brought free internet. You brought the wireless internet to the masses.
Exactly. There's an article that wrote entitled, what was it, "How I Hacked Notre Dame." Quote-unquote, connection registration in 10 seconds.
Yeah. You own Notre Dame in less than a day.
Yes.
Now, what does that say?
Not good.
Yeah, well, you know, actually, you know, they didn't sound like they went out of their way. I mean, all you're doing is surfing the web. I mean, it's, you know, it's cool that you got around it and everything, but they don't sound like they really tried that hard. I don't really think it's a reflection on them. I think it's more of a reflection that you knew enough about what you were doing to get around it.
Exactly.
So I think they probably really wouldn't care anyway, but they just put up like one of those false fronts. They just tried to act like they were stopping you, but they wouldn't care.
It's also funny because this is going to be a good conversation topic when I meet the computer security guy here.
Yeah, you might, that could be awkward depending on how he reacts.
We'll see. If he's either going to scream, well, fuck this, what am I going to do? Or be very happy that I showed this to him and attempt to fix it.
Or, again, like I say, you may just leave it alone because how many people would be able to figure that out, you know?
Exactly, or just doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, they just want to, as long as they block out 99% of the people, you know, that's probably good enough for them. They probably, you know, most universities are underfunded, or of course, Notre Dame's a private university, is that right?
That's true.
So they actually don't have a lot of the financial problems that others do, but the reason that universities are usually get labeled with that poor security and stuff is because they don't really have the funds to dedicate and have a security team and have security officers. Or if they do, they have just a couple of them. And there's just far, far too many servers. Like you said, 44 different DNS servers on campus. You know, just to maintain 44 servers like that is just phenomenal amount of work, just time-consuming, you know? So imagine that, plus all the web servers that are scattered about campus, and all the FTP servers, and all the streaming media servers, and yada, 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 all the stuff going around on campus. It's just, you know, that's a lot of time-consuming work, and most universities don't have the funding to properly take care of that.
Yeah, I feel that. Well, maybe if I go here, I'll spruce it up a bit.
Well, there you go. They need volunteers like us. Well, you know, speaking of security, I had a little fun here about a couple weeks ago, too. I think I mentioned this maybe on the forums one time, but there was a new site launched called AlbertEinstein.info. It's one of those new .info extensions. And it's basically, it's run by a university, if I remember. I don't remember which university was sponsoring it. But it's a site on Albert Einstein, obviously. The funny thing about it was announced coming soon. So it was nothing but a placeholder page there for quite a while. So being the little nosy hacker that I am, I started nosing around through their pages, doing some view sources, etc., and just kind of footprinting the system a little bit. The front page, as soon as you do a view source on it, you can see right away that it was written in Microsoft Word. And you know easily you can tell that because you see all those custom and proprietary Microsoft tags in there.
And a bunch of XML stuff at the beginning. It's crazy stuff.
Yeah, it just puts way too much overkill information. And it's all proprietary stuff that the Internet Explorer browser will then turn around and interpret. You know, they only work, you know, Microsoft tags will only work with the IE browser. The others either haven't or won't or, you know, and shouldn't have to have support just for Microsoft products tags. So it's made and designed to look better in Internet Explorer. So the thing is, that, and by the way, there's a great footprinting article in issue 1 of Binary Revolution magazine. Not to be confused with Binary Revolution Radio. Well, actually, maybe they could be confused because we are the same people, right?
Yeah, well, last time I checked, we were.
All right, so hopefully if they like one, they'll like the other, but on the other hand, maybe if they don't like one, they won't like the other either. But that's neither here nor there. Also, I was digging into their server, and they were running at the time Microsoft IIS. And the funny part about that was not only were they running IIS, but guess which server platform they were running it on. Obviously, you know what company was running the platform, but
perhaps 2003.
There you go. Jeez, I wonder how you knew that.
I don't know. Lucky guess.
But the funny thing is, at the time this placeholder page was up, Microsoft Server 2003 hadn't been released yet.
I wonder how they got a copy.
How in the world could they have been running a production version of 2003 Server unless they had... Excuse me. Sorry, I coughed on radio. I know that's bad radio, but I just had something pirates in my throat that I had to clear out. Okay. But, you know, not only that, back to Word, just as an HTML browser, it's terrible that it uses all these tags. Besides now that they're going with the XML, Word and specifically puts in all the Microsoft Word. Like, if you've ever looked at a .doc, one of the Microsoft Word document files,
there's a page of crap before everything.
Yeah, if you can go to File Properties, open anything, open one of my articles in .doc format from stankdog.com articles pages, download one of my .doc files, and you go to File Properties, and you will see it has a lot of fields, and they are embedded into that file. You'll see a lot of fields like author. You can see number of revisions. You can see time spent writing the document, and all kinds of information. And when you, in turn, use that to publish a web page, and they really do push that. They try to say that Microsoft Word's a great HTML publisher. Wrong answer. When you publish a page with that, it publishes all those tags out on the HTML of the page. And if you do a view source, for example, on that site, you will see, I can see the author's name right there in the text. I saw their license key. You know, I don't have to get pirated copies or a key generator. Their license key was embedded in the code of their page. And I really should be an ass and read it on the air, but, you know, I'd probably get in a lot of trouble, so...
That is, like... Isn't that stupid?
Isn't that just stupid?
It's below stupid.
it's just amazing. I'll read the author's name, Radar Epp, whoever that is, EPP. Great job, Radar App.
So he ripped off. He probably ripped off Word as well.
Hey, I wonder if we can get some money if we were to send him in, narc him out, because, you know, I obey Project Tips. So I just feel the need that, you know, this guy, he's pirating 2003. He needs to be reported.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, I would.
Well, all right. I think I'll let him slide this time. Let's assume maybe it was a preview copy. Yeah, it was a beta or a preview or something that he was using. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, nobody ever seems to give us, hackers of the world, the benefit of the doubt, but, you know, two wrongs don't make a right. So, the moral of the story, you know, actually, what I used for to write my code is Dreamweaver MX.
Is it good?
It actually has, this is so sad, this is just a sad, pathetic thing to have, it has a function in there called cleanup MSHTML. You can take, and I do that a lot of times, you can take code and, like, say I download a page, even, for example, this AlbertEinstein.info, which, by the way, is now running on an Apache internet server and a Unix server running Apache, and all the codes have been kind of removed. There's always interesting stuff inside the code, but they did finally take off the Microsoft stuff, so anybody going there now is not going to find the same good stuff. But I use Dreamweaver MX, and sometimes I will have people have written stuff in Word. They'll want me to, hey, can you tell me what's wrong with this? Can you take a look at this for me? I import the shit in, strip the Microsoft out of it, and sometimes it'll work right away. The Microsoft code is just so that bad sometimes. But, I strip out all the Microsoft tags, any excess tags. But it's a shame that there's a piece of software. Some programmers, you know, they had requests from people. What would you like us to add to the next version of Dreamweaver? Well, could you please make something that strips out all the Microsoft crap from my code? I mean, if that's what they put in just the HTML, what about any application that you develop with Visual Studio or any of their programming languages? Does it put all kinds of code in there too?
Maybe.
See, I don't want to go too far on this, but I have a conspiracy theory. I think that every single thing that you make and build and compile with Visual Studio or Visual C++ or Visual Basic or what any of the Microsoft compilers, I think there is code embedded into those .exe files. I really do. When they compile, I think it probably throws some stuff in there. If you ever publish anything to the web or publish anything, I bet you, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if Microsoft could decompile that code, decompile their own stuff. There's no public decompilers that they'd ever release, but I bet you they can tell. I bet you they go out every once in a while, search the web, find different things, and they probably have a big database of people who have unlicensed copies of these different programs.
True.
That's kind of scary.
Well, I mean, it is possible. I mean, they could just inject stuff right before you compile it. Like, you're adding, like, certain library files. Like, it just slips one in there.
Absolutely.
Just puts, like, date stamp, time stamp, computer, CD key, everything in there, and just puts that in there. And then, like, let's say you try to maybe a good way to do it, it might be possible, but compile something, like, just an int main and then just nothing in it, and then compile it on a Visual Studio, and then compile it in, like, GCC or something, and see if there's a file difference, and if it's noticeable, then, I mean, there has to be something else.
Yeah, yeah. It may not even be noticeable. It may just be a serial number or something like that,
yeah.
Or a code that says, you know, some kind of code that says registered. You know, it may be a 2 or 3K, or a 2 or 3 byte difference, I should say.
Yeah.
You know, so it'd be kind of hard to tell. I mean, it has to be illegal. It's probably just me being real, real paranoid as usual, but, you know, it just wouldn't surprise me if it happened. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Let's see. You know what? I was reading the other day something else scary. Something, you know, there's always things going on from our government and just in our society as general. It's just constantly degrading. The society is constantly going in the wrong direction, and our leaders are going in the wrong direction. And it changes the mindset of people in a way that's really, really disturbing to me sometimes. There was a virus going around called the Pfizer virus. Have you heard of that one?
Oh, yeah, I read about that one. That was kind of wacky.
Yeah, Pfizer virus, you know, just in and of itself, without even going into detail of the virus, for those of you who haven't read or heard this already, the virus itself was captured and analyzed by someone, and they realized that what it was doing was it was contacting some sites at geocities.com. Somebody had put up some temporary sites, fake sites, that this virus would contact. Well, it contacted two sites, actually. The person who wrote it, or the person who designed it, or whatever you want to say, actually didn't register the second site. Maybe he put it in there as a backup or something like that, thinking that maybe if one site was taken down, he had a backup he could switch to and his virus would still continue. Well, I guess he didn't think that if he knew that and knew that from his code, that if somebody captured and analyzed his virus, they would also find that. And that's exactly what happened. Somebody decompiled the virus, saw how it worked, and saw that it was connecting a second site. He went to GeoCities, and he registered that site. And he saw the way that it was calling the site, looking for updates, looking to update the virus. And what he did is he wrote a patch. And he put that patch to the virus, or the fix to the virus, or whatever you want to call it, on that site. So that when it connected to the GeoCities site, trying to update itself or register itself or send its payload, whatever it was doing, it actually found the patch to the virus, downloaded it, and ironically, in trying to update itself, it actually killed itself. That to me is brilliant. I thought that was a great idea. Somebody actually saw that and beat this person, this virus writer, at their own game. And I thought that was just brilliant. But the message that bothered me about this story, I mean, that's brilliant. Is that not a brilliant idea? I don't know how else to say it.
When I read it, that was pretty funny. Personally, using a GeoCities site, which are notoriously shitty.
Yeah, who knows why they thought it. I guess, you know, it's probably somebody who either couldn't or didn't want to register a real site in their real name or couldn't afford to or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, it was hard-coded.
Okay.
You know, you never want to hard-code stuff if you can help it. Or at least if it updates itself, it should be able to switch them. But it was two hard-coded addresses in that code.
Yeah.
But the sad thing about this is the person who wrote the fix for this, okay? The person who wrote the fix for this put it up on the site. The virus that connected everybody that had it, basically it would connect to the site and it would clean itself out immediately. I mean, instantaneously practically killed the virus. But he actually had to stop and take the patch off of the site because, ironically, putting a piece of software up and modifying the programs on their computer is technically... technically it's illegal. You know? The author... Here's a quote. The author had a great concern that what he's doing was illegal. Obviously, the code was being downloaded by a worm that was not meant to be on your computer. So here he is doing a good thing. You know, people make millions of dollars in the antivirus industry. You know, this guy had figured out a way to do this for free. Sure, it was just one particular virus, worm, but it's still a great idea, and he was doing what I consider a service. I guess I can see the other side of the coin. He could have actually, you know, what if he was a crappy program and he wrote something and deleted files on your end or something like that? I'd be pretty pissed about that. But still, the fear of helping is the message that I got out of this. And you should be, you know, it's like you're sending us a message that helping can get you arrested. We've already been sent the message for years that harmless things, you know, if you're just doing the most harmless little hacking ideas or harmless little things can get you arrested. We've seen that time and time again. But now doing in my opinion, of course, is a good thing that can also get you arrested, that's a shame.
That's the problem with the DMCA. It's going to screw everyone up. Everyone in the in any academic field or trying to help someone is the what I've heard said by the MIT Xbox hacker in his new book, which I have, great book by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He calls it the chilling effects of the DMCA, and a lot of people have said that. And after thinking about it, it's true, because if you write something, say I write something that diverts Palladium or does something really nasty to that, but helps a lot of people, and you just read just simple reverse engineering or mean some clever trick, you can go to jail for that.
Yeah, you know, what message does that send to people? They think they're trying to be authoritative, but, you know, there's a double irony here. The guy is scared to put up his helping, fixing the virus code, Yet, the guy who wrote the virus is probably, or girl, I guess I shouldn't say guy, the person who wrote the virus is probably running free and, you know, writing another virus right now.
Yeah.
You know, so, I don't know. I'm just, you know, generally, I'm against viruses. You know, I find them interesting. I find them very interesting.
Some cool. I went to the internet and got it. Namely, well, the problem is that, first of all, he didn't secure both sites. Second of all, you really can't rely on the thing being on the internet the whole time. I mean, it was interesting, but it's poorly executed.
Right. Right. Just, yeah. You know, sometimes I just... What was the goal of this, too? I don't know what the goal of this virus was, just to spread, you know, as a worm, to just see how long it could live. Usually when people are writing worms, it's for, A, to see the number of infections they can get, how far can they spread it, how long can it last, is the second thing. How long can they make this thing... I still, on occasion, believe it or not, come across the stoned virus. I've still seen people who come up, they'll be working, and they just get a message, your computer is stoned. I still see that to this day, and I remember that when I was in high school. So that's, you know, that's been around for years, so...
And, it's usually a secondary motive, which I've seen before, is a political function.
Yeah, well, and that's more when people are defacing websites to put up their political messages and stuff like
we
that.
We all have a history.
Yeah.
Defacement sites.
Yeah. You know, speaking of the DMCA, since you brought it up, DMCA strikes again. Let's see here. There were seven Hollywood movie studios. They're suing 321 Studios, saying that its software violates the 1998 Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which, of course, prohibits the circumvention of anti-piracy measures such as Content Scramble System, or CSS, protecting movies on DVD. You need a software key inside DVD players to view the movie. 321 Studios is allegedly violated the law by distributing that key in its software, sold under names like DVD Copy Plus and DVD X Copy. So anytime, you know where I see those most of all? I get spam for those products all the time. I get spam messages of copy all your DVDs to CDR and copy DVDs for your own, you know. I get tons of junk mail about those, so I hate that just because they're spammers.
Yeah.
However, you know, it's a piece of software, and I don't really see you... that actually, I would love to be able to make copies. I have a huge DVD collection. You know, I've got a lot of really obscure... I buy a lot of movies from Hong Kong. I like a lot of the... you know, I guess people call them corny kung fu movies. Get a lot of British comedies on DVD. So I have a region-free player because, A, I hate that whole scenario. Because I'm a fan of movies from other countries, they want me to buy a DVD player from each one of those regions to play them.
Get, like, for some of them, it says you only have 5 changes of region.
Yeah. That's, you know... I don't even want to go off on that tangent. That's been beaten to death. That's, you know, ridiculous stuff that the MPAA tries to pull. They want full control over everything. But, you know, I'm not going to go into that. But here we are with another example of how software that could have a very valid use, that could be used for an absolutely valid purpose, is getting sued. I mean, you make software. You make a package which there must be some demand for. I mean, the stuff sells really well. I've seen plenty of people buy it.
I mean, I also believe the software works well, too, because all it does is just... the software in itself allows you to copy DVDs, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, what I've heard, the software is beautiful, and I've heard it on TV shows talked about stuff. And it's funny that this thing is funny. The guy that wrote it was on the tech TV show, The Screensavers. And... I believe they're going to go to the Supreme Court for this kind of stuff, aren't they?
Well, let's see here. It says what a DVD player does and what our product does are exactly the same thing. That was a representative told a U.S. District Judge. The question is not whether we have the authority, it's whether the users have the authority to access the content. So, yes, it's in the court system. I don't know how high it is or how long it's been. You know, I think this is fairly recent. But the simple fact that it's, you know, I guess when there is a conflict like this, I guess our judicial system, I should say, is how this stuff is determined. But, you know, how long is it going to take and how high is it going to go? And this is taxpayer money. The longer this stays in courts and the longer they try to fight, the more money it takes. The more of my tax money is enveloped paying for these people to fight these little bullshit law things. And the DMCA has got so many claims. People are crawling and hiding under this DMCA umbrella. It's just sickening. It's a sickening law, and it's eating up mine and your tax money going to stuff like this. And it's pathetic. It's really pathetic. You know, they make these broad, sweeping laws that are just vague, all-encompassing. They don't have proper limits. They were written without proper understanding and education of how things work and what the results of these laws and things are going to be. They just, you know, I truly believe that there are people in Congress that don't know the first damn thing about DVDs and about the MPA. They sign this stuff because it sounds good.
Or because they've been lobbied to.
Absolutely. They have special interest groups that come in there, and gee, what would be a big special interest? Maybe the Motion Picture Association of America, would they be pretty big? Do you think they'd be lobbying with a lot of money?
Mm-hmm. Definitely, like, they see a law coming by, they get enough people, they buy enough drinks, they're set.
Yep, they just slip a little money under the table, put some money in the old campaign fund.
Exactly.
Like I said earlier in the show, it's a sad state of affairs. We're going downhill in this country.
Let's digress the political side. Let's go back to the hacking.
Yeah. Let's stay on the hacking. This is digital rights. This is something that's very important to hackers because it does affect us. They're going to make these laws, and people like you and I, as hackers, if we develop a program to copy our private DVDs, look at DECSS. That is a classic application of digital rights and how laws and politics, unfortunately, do play a hand. You cannot write a program. Basically, they wrote a program to play DVDs under Linux. What the fuck is wrong with that? Please explain to me why that's illegal.
There's no legal against that. The only problem is there's a bunch of people that say, you're going to have to give me $100 before you can play a DVD. End of story.
Yeah, and you know, that is possible. So, you know, we can speak about politics if it's affecting us as hackers, and I think the DMCA absolutely does. So, you know, every time I see something like that, I do want to bring it up and talk about it and let the listeners know that this is still going on. The more people that we reach and the more people that hear, this is the kind of politics that they really should get involved in. It doesn't matter. I don't want to go into politics of Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal. I like this president. I hate that bastard. I don't want to do this for war. That's not the politics I'm talking about. The politics that hackers need to be involved in is proactive politics, proactive action and making your voice heard by these corrupt politicians, changing these corrupt politicians. Don't even look at the individuality of them. Look at the whole mass of what the results are, and that's the kind of thing that we do need to change.
Very true.
One change that may be coming, or that is coming, is pretty much this is what the DMCA should have been from the get-go. If they had done their job right and done their homework and not just signed shit blindly in, they would have come up with this. There's something called the DMCRA. The Digital Media Consumer Rights Act. And this is, in my opinion, of course, and by all means, email or come to the forums at stankdog.com and feel free to disagree with me on this, but this is, in my opinion, what the DMCA should have been the first time out, the first version of this, and this is what they should have signed into law instead of blindly signing in that global DMCA that they have now. The DMCRA... it's got five major points. The first one, and this is just one of the biggest ones to me, is it reaffirms fair use. Now, fair use is defined as, for example, you see fair use, see the fair use clause come into effect in colleges or in any school. When you make a photocopy of a textbook, technically that was illegal in the past. You can't make a copy of copywritten material. That's why it's called copywritten. But schools always had a loophole, if you want to call it that. They always had a clause that allowed them fair use. You could make a photocopy of a couple pages to teach and to illustrate a topic in school. You were allowed to do that. The DMCRA reaffirms that. Here's a quote. It says, under the bill, a user may circumvent an access control on an electronic book he purchased for the purpose of reading it on a different electronic reader. However, if he were to upload the book onto the Internet for distribution to others, he would be liable for both a Section 1201 circumvention policy and for copyright infringement. So, you extract your audio files to an MP3, that's perfectly legal. You're allowed to do that. The second you copy it over to your MP3 player to listen to while you go to the gym or ride the bus or whatever you want to do, you have violated the DMCA, believe it or not. The second that you move that, you do not have the right, because you now have a second copy of that, a digital copy. And their example here was electronic books is the same thing. You can have those MP3s, but the second you go on and share them on the Internet somewhere with file sharing, then you are technically breaking the law. And, I don't claim to be a saint, don't get me wrong, but the fact of the matter is, I am against piracy, in most circumstances. So I'm not going to condone piracy, I'm not going to go into a rant on this, but some piracy, I understand. I think that's pretty vague. Is that all right to say that? Am I going to have the feds pounding on my door after this episode?
Well, maybe I'll have the ND security police at my phone booth door.
if anybody hears pounding on a phone booth door and mute disappears, well, now we know why. Another thing that this does, number two, it reestablishes the Betamax standard. A lot of listeners may not have any idea what a Betamax is, but the Betamax means that it would specify that it is not a violation of Section 1201 of the DMCA, that's the real crappy part of it, to manufacture, distribute, or make non-infringing use of hardware or software product capable of enabling significant non-infringing use of a copyright work. The third thing, restores valid scientific research. This is the one that really pissed me off, and I went on to a big rant about this on Radio Freak America a few episodes back. In my mind, the most important thing in society to me is education. It's growing and learning, and that's how society progresses. If people stop learning and stop growing and stop trying to expand their minds and they just sit there and they're happy with every day just doing the same thing day in and day out, I'm happy with the phone system, I'm happy with the internet system, I'm happy with television, I'm happy with the grocery store, even the simplest things in life. If you are just content to never change, you will never change. No one will ever change. The world will never change. So anything that's education related that furthers society, to me, is something that you can't put a price or a value on. It's something that has to happen if we as a society are going to evolve. Scientific research has been stifled by the DMCA, and we've had several examples of that, and I'm not going to rehash a bunch of them now. But people doing research now have to hire lawyers. Even if it's temporary, even if it's just to review stuff, they have to take money. You get a $100,000 grant to do research on, stem cell research or something. You actually have to pay part of that money to hire a lawyer to make sure you cover your ass on your research. Whatever money that goes to the lawyers, and God, don't get me started on what blood-sucking leeches they are, any money spent on lawyers is money that could have been spent towards the research. That's money spent only because the DMCA has limited that and made people so scared that they were going to be sued that they have to pay lawyers to protect them so that they can learn and so that they can expand their mind and so that society can grow. So the DMCA, to me, is an absolute direct attempt at stopping the growth of society. Am I way too passionate about that?
No, I think it's enough, actually, because what we find today is that you try to do something and you're going to probably break a law along the place. I mean, you just said that technically you can have an MP3, but you can't of copyrighted music, but you can't put an MP3 player. But it's true that so many companies would go out of business or lose a lot of their profit share because they're doing that. Because they're producing them, and that probably would be available to use to put MP3s of copyrighted material on, like a Rio or an iPod.
Right.
So it's crap. There's another thing that I found that's kind of interesting. I believe, like what you said before about that Pfizer virus, that if you access someone's network without like without consent, I guess you could say, that means that it's wrong. Well, my iBook, if you turn it on, I think the default setting for the wireless is find any wireless network that's within range that you have signal to.
Right.
Well, as soon as you log on to the network, you're violating someone's wireless, technically. So the iBook by itself is a circumvention device.
Well, you know, there's also the example of Microsoft's automatic update. And actually, you know, what is it, Red Carpet? Is that the Red Hat's version or auto update for Red Hat Linux?
Up-to-date is Red Hat version.
Yeah. Even those, technically, they're reading and reporting stuff to your hard drive. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think they always have to ask you or notify, it says, do you want to do this? I think you have
set
to
set it up so you don't ask.
Right, but it's some you do have to ask
once. There's an asking thing. Would you like me to install these?
So maybe if the way he did that virus check, if he would have had it prompt the user when it connected, maybe part of his patch was
like
to prompt
to
say, would you like me to clean your virus for you free or something? Maybe that would have covered him legally.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you might have confused some people along the way. That's also true.
But back to this DMCRA, maybe he couldn't afford to pay a lawyer to verify if that would be an allowable way to him do it. So as a result, he took it off, and you know now the virus manufacturers have fixes for it in their latest DAT files and stuff. So you know there was a person who could do it for free, and you know out of fear of prosecution, he couldn't do it. And that's it just makes me so mad. Let's see. This is their description. This is what the article says about the Valley Scientific Research. I'm just going to read this straight. It says the bill will enable circumvention for research on technological measures other than encryption. The bill also permits a researcher to develop the tools necessary for such circumvention. The bill will enable circumvention for research on technical measures other than encryption. Oh, I copied that twice. Tools necessary for such circumventions, let's see, which would cover things like DECSS. Exactly.
Is that encryption, though?
Exactly what we were talking about earlier. It's more encoding than encryption, I think. The encryption, I think, is more of, what is it?
Self-decoding.
Macromedia, yeah.
The DVD itself.
Right. Let's see, the fourth thing, there was four things in this bill. The fourth one is ensures proper labeling of copy-protected compact disks. So also, I'm glad they put this in. This seems like a small thing, but it's so fucking annoying when you get your CD home, and you get it home, and I don't know about everybody else, but I listen to, up until recently, I never had a CD player in my car. I was old school. I still had the cassette. I didn't have, you know, I mostly listened to the radio. I listen to all my CDs at work or on my computer at home. I'll go into my headset at work, listen to my CD or my MP3s, and I hated it more than anything when you pop the CD in and I can't play it in Winamp or I can't play it in my whatever audio player I'm listening to. I can't play it because it pops up this fucking screen on there that they want to, it has their own little special, I don't know, Christina Aguilera MP3 player, and that's the only way you can play it is through their proprietary software. Or they try to do those copy-protected ones where it will not play in some CD. They're attempting to do copy protection, and they found out, I think you probably would know this better than I would, with the Macintosh, I think it was where it was a big problem. I think a lot of people had problems playing them on the Macs.
Yeah, because they're probably using some sort of proprietary Windows thing. And a Mac couldn't read the file.
Yeah, and so Mac users that bought a CD and paid, you know, these nosebleed $20 prices, it's just sickening, for a CD, and then they get it home and they try to play it on a Mac if they're like me and play it on their computers, and it wouldn't run.
Or, you know, what also would do is, like, if you try to put it in a CD player, some CDs have so much encoding on them that some CD players themselves, like, standalone, could not play it.
Yeah, you know, and that's... So you pay $20 for a piece of shit that you can't use, and then, ironically, you can't go back to the store and return it because they won't take it back.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they can't take it back is because you've opened it, and now you have a possible copyright violation. That's the reason you can't return it. So they've got you coming. They're fucking you in both holes. That's what they're doing. You can't get away from it. So the solution, don't buy CDs. That's what I've stopped. You know, I only buy a couple CDs a year now. Maybe, probably, I don't know, easily less than 10, probably less than 5. Only CDs that I know are my favorites and that I listen to a lot. I'm not going to support that industry anymore. And, you know, that's the only way to teach them a lesson. If people stop buying it, it's the same thing with spam. Don't ever respond to a spam email, no matter, even if it's something you're interested in. Don't respond to it. Don't support them, because it just makes them do it more. So I'm not going to support them. I do support this bill, the DMCRA. These are, you know, there's still going to be some holes in it. Yes, there's still going to be some problems. But this should have been the first draft. This should have been the DMCA, because this actually gives you some fair use. This actually allows you to have some control and to write programs and stuff like that. This actually allows you to do things that you should be able to do with the CDs that you buy, that you absolutely purchase and have a right to use. The funny thing about this, of course, this is supported, you know, we mentioned earlier about lobbyists. This is supported by the EFF, one of my favorite organizations, the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Big name companies as well are supporting this bill, but the EFF also. You know who is conspicuously absent, of course.
Microsoft.
Well, Microsoft is not there, at least on the list I saw. But the MPAA, of course they're not going to support it. They want full, total control. They don't want you to be able to make copies. You know, and they're probably the biggest. Them, and also missing is the RIAA, the recording industry.
I heard about the RIAA. Who's the lady that runs that?
I forget her name.
Whatever her fucklet lady is.
Yeah, she's just... I don't even think she's with them anymore, you know, honestly. I think she left.
She left. You know what she's doing now?
What's that?
CNBC question person. Like, you know when they get a panel going?
Aye, aye, aye.
She's going to work for them now. So they're going to... Hillary Rosen staring you in the face when you wake up the next morning. They're talking about the migrating pattern of geese and how this is affecting the political system of Uganda, probably.
Well, she won't be staring me in the face in the morning. I'll never turn it on. You know, again, the way to stop these things is the number one way to stop the things that you think are wrong in society and wrong in this world. The number one way, do not support it. Don't watch the channel. Don't buy the magazines. Don't buy the CDs. Don't go to the movies. Now, come on, I went to see The Hulk, and I want my money back. I want 2 hours of my life back for that crappy movie. You know,
I'm the another worse.
Huh?
Hollywood Homicide.
Yeah, I heard that was pretty bad too.
Yeah.
You know, and you pay $8.50, $9, and more, even higher in some cities.
I'm in Hakeville. I pay $5.75.
But that's still like a value meal, supersized with change.
Yeah.
You know, and with a couple hours of McWireless access.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, so that's money that could have been used on something else. So. You know, it's just, I just don't know what's happening to society. That's just it seems to be my theme song lately. I just don't understand what's happening with society. Speaking of viruses, actually, this is just the stupidest thing to me. What is the main way that viruses are continued? The main way viruses are spread?
Through people.
Through people that receive an email that says, oh, here's a cute screensaver I found. Click me. And what do they do every fucking time?
Click it.
They click the goddamn thing. What is so... There's a new virus going around now. Well, there's a real virus called the SARS virus. You know, it's a really bad flu strain that they haven't been able to fix.
This is a funny name. The Severe Acute Respiratory...
Syndrome?
Syndrome, yeah. Now, severe acute, that sounds like an oxymoron.
Ugh.
I guess it isn't.
There is a SARS computer virus.
Oh, great.
Named after, obviously, the real SARS virus. There's a SARS computer virus that's just out because it's timely. But it's so simple. It's nothing, you know, at least some of the viruses I said earlier, I can appreciate a well-written virus, something that takes advantage of some type of exploit, or there's some security hole or weakness. I can at least appreciate the programming, and that the point of the virus is to expose that. You know, as long as it doesn't cause a lot of damage and deleting of files, it's one of those viruses that just, it's a worm, it just spreads. You know, that I don't. It doesn't bother me so much. I still wouldn't do it personally myself, but I won't condemn others that do that. But this kind of virus, I don't see why they still exist or still spread. Well, I do see why. It's because people are stupid. But this virus is simply an EXE attachment, and everybody knows. How many times have you been told, every computer user, even the most beginning, you know, grade school kids on computers are even taught, if you get an email from someone you don't know, don't click on the attachment. You know, I send you a program. Who in the world is going to send you, oh, here's a cute screensaver I got from Chester Child Molester. Why would you open that? Why would you open an EXE file? Why would you open the, oh, here's a cute little application. Oh, here's a funny joke I got. Why don't open it if you don't know it. Is that so hard? Is that really so hard for people to grasp this? Oh, man. Society's just in a bad way right now. It really is. Man, we've been going for a while now. How are we here?
We got like 2 minutes, a couple minutes left.
Man, I think it's time to close it up. First episode of Binary Revolution Radio.
Yeah, I think this is a good one, too.
Man, I'm hot. I'm starting to sweat a little bit because when I go off on these rants, I get so angry at this at society and at the... Ugh, it just makes me sick. Yeah, all right, I'm going to bring it down. I'm going to take some deep breaths. Oh, I'm just going to count to 10. Just relax. Mute, why don't you take over the show for about 10 seconds while I count to 10.
All right. Well, I just want to say that camp's good. I hope everyone enjoys this Binary Revolution and Ready Binary Revolution Radio /bin/rev/radio.
One.
And we'll
zero.
Make a billion more for you, and hopefully they'll be the same.
All right, I'm calmed down. Well, hopefully they won't be exactly the same.
No, they'll be the same topics. But the same general idea.
Yeah, it'd be easy if we just made, you know, put the same one up every week. But yes. Now we're going to try to bring in some new good stuff along the same vein of what you just heard. We can't wrap it up. We can't wrap it out without throwing out a few shouts. Got to shout out first and foremost Dual Parallel, co-host, or the host, I should say. He always likes to say co-host, but that's Radio Freak America, a great show. It's been around for a long time, something I love to be on and will still be on in the future if you ask me.
Which you might actually, listening to this, you probably heard it, www.oldschoolfreak.com. That's oldschoolfreak.com.
Oldschoolfreak.com. Radio Freak America is the name of the show. Your host, Dual Parallel, along with a lot of other guests, co-hosts, any bum that he can get to be on the radio, like, oh, Winter Mute, he lets him on sometimes, and jeez.
Without any reason, just like I'm on there for 2 minutes.
Yeah, you know, it's like if they let him on, jeez, man, they'll let anybody on. But no, they got a lot of great hosts on there. Winter Mute and myself have been on for years, and, you know, if it wasn't for being on that show and Dual helping and teaching us so much, you know, I really wouldn't be doing this today. And again, I'm still hopefully going to do RFA as often as I can because I still love doing that. Just wanted to break off basically topics, you know, just separate it. We got a hacking show and we got a freaking show, and yes, there'll be some overlap as far as our personalities and the way we believe, but just kind of give you more information and two different shows. So, you know, if you want to think of it as RFA part two, you know, you might it's probably pretty much the same thing. I gotta shout out all the members of DDP. I know people get tired of hearing DDP on this and DDP that, but you know everybody in DDP has helped support this. You know, we've been brainstorming ideas for this show, topics, segments, angles on how we were going to do it. And without all of their input and help, we wouldn't be able to do it. And hopefully we're going to be, you know, rotating people in quite a bit to do the show. And I know people will be tired of hearing me, that's for damn sure, if they're not already.
I got some shouts, too. We got Logan 5, who always puts out the best copies of Binary Revolution we've seen.
Which, by the way, go to binrev.com, order yours today.
And I'll shout out to all the cast, all the members of the IEP crew over here, because I know they're going to want to listen to this. So they got to give those shouts to them, and all the women in Farley Hall for that.
Ooh, all the women.
Yeah.
Man, why didn't you get the chick sores on the show, man?
Right, we should get an opening from them.
Ooh, maybe we record next show with the chick sores on with us.
There you go.
All right. What else you got?
Who else? Oh, shout to the OIT department at ND for letting me hack their network.
And I know you probably shout out your fellow members that come to the 2600 Chicago 2600.
Good thing you mentioned that because I didn't mention them when I published Best Buy and Securities, and they were pissed.
Uh-oh.
It was the first thing they read when they didn't see their names down there, but then they saw their names in the front, so they were happy.
Yeah. And you know what? You can make sure you add them in Best Buy Revisited.
Reservations from For Binary Revolution 2.
Issue number 2, coming soon, so watch the website for that. Shout-outs to my Broward 2600 meeting, everybody listening there, if they're listening. Shout-out to them. I definitely got to shout-out Zurl for the opening theme song. With great, great hacking song. Zurl, much love. He gave us permission to use that as our official theme song. Actually working on possibly making a new updated version. So much love for that.
The other one's kind of outdated. They got the iDrive in there.
Yeah. Oh, there's lots of great references in there. It's just every time you listen to it, you hear a few more things that you're like, oh wow, that was cool. Great, great song.
All right, so you want to wrap this thing up?
Yeah. Anybody? I mentioned earlier, you know, a lot of this, the stuff that I just said, my opinion. You know, I think this should have been the DMCA the first time. I think, you know, virus. I'm against this. I'm for. You know, anything that I say on the show is my opinion, and everybody doesn't have to agree with it. If everybody does, you know, it would be a pretty sad world. So I know people probably disagree with me on a lot of things. I know some individual people I can think offhand that probably. So any feedback, if you want to give to me, I'm very open. You want to tell me that I'm a complete ass? It's not the first time I've heard that. You want to say you agreed with the show or liked it? You'd like to hear more of this? You'd like to hear less of that? You want me to punch Wintermute when I see him? Any of that kind of feedback, just send it to letters@benrev.com. letters@benrev.com. Is that it? Did you have any other shout-outs? I didn't interrupt you, did I?
No, I think I got everything.
And we're going to leave you with Zurl's Dedication to the Hacker, the theme song that we open with. This is the Matrix remix, and we're going to close you out with the full version of this song.
This is Wintermute, and
this is Stank Dog, and we will see you next time. Same hack time, same hack channel.
This is dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers. You know what I'm saying? If you hear this, I want you to bump this and do your dirt, dog. Do your dirt. You could fill a stadium with cats using shit cracked by radium. Liquid sky will never die. Before the crackers and the hackers, life was wacker. Software we could never stack for. We were floored by these evil hordes. All the best shit we could never afford. The internet and MP3, they set us free. I'm downloading Windows ME right now off FTP. You bitches will never find me, because I'm everywhere, see? Yo, dog, you got something new? Hit me off on ICQ. I'll help you back and jive. I got some top-notch shit on iDrive. You shut one site down, we multiply. Like a phoenix from a different place, we rise. Then you got the squares. Yo, dude, you're stealing, don't you care? LOL, bitch, I got a terabyte of wares. I like my files sit, zip, or rare. I'll download 700 segments from 1,000 sites. I'll drink coffee, snort speed, I'll stay up all night. I'll hack your company's site with blank and white. Ghost ISPs, find me, please. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. The ones that set us free. Thanks, G, for setting us free. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled hoed. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-fold. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange, you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones when I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RAS, SIPs, SIPs. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Your encryption is primitive Egyptian. I'll do more with a 486 and a Flex Tour. We've won when the 6 billion got at once. And we tell each other how to get it on. Cyber armies and the Pentagon were storming. I just found out who killed JFK. The smoking gun will have it within a day. All the lies even faster. Go check the name Truth on Napster. Digital disaster. The pricks will never find me in this matrix. A million keyboard voices all named Morpheus. This is dedicated to those who set me free. Got a buzz, you're always my cuz. Radium, if I could only say to them thanks. Callisto, you know, Utopia, and all my digital dogs. My net dons, my cyber gangsters, my wire warriors, my computer comrades. This is for you. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there. Choice I leave to you.